Thanks for tuning in to today's Horsewoman Podcast. Our show explores women in the horse industry as they share their dreams, challenges, successes. What drives these women? Well, let's find out.
Good morning. We're in Benson, North Carolina today with Kristen Ide. And Kristen is a barrel racing woman who has had many successes in the barrel racing industry and has grown up right before my eyes. So I know you're going to enjoy meeting her and listening to her story. So Kristen, tell us a little bit about what brought you to horses.
So my dad used to ride cutting horses when we were younger, and not that I really remember back then, but he has always had horses at the house and encouraged us to get into it. I initially grew up riding English for whatever reason. I guess I wanted to do something different. And about 11 years old, I had kind of gotten sick of the politics of it. I wanted to do more. And so my dad took me to one of his buddy's houses and was like, let's try barrel racing. And I have been hooked with it since then.
Awesome. Now, you've done some pretty big things in barrel racing. I know you've set records and competed nationally. So tell us a little bit about that.
So rodeo was always where my passion was with things. I always wanted to be in that side of the industry. It just looks like it was so much fun. And so we did high school rodeo, and we moved into the SRA and some Zebra rodeos. And the last few years, we've really focused on the IPRA. We did do the American Qualifier in 2016. We got to go to the American Semifinals in 2017. And still have a few more goals. We hit a few pro rodeos, but right now we're kind of focused more on the training side of things.
Right.
And that's fun. It's a different ballgame going into futurities moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
So just kind of interesting to see where it's all going to go. It's a new world.
For sure. For sure. So now you're training barrel horses for people and training people to ride them?
Yes, so I quit my job officially 2 years ago, and I'm doing this full-time now. It's a lot. We're building a lot of things around here. I actually sold my horse Mister last fall, and I used the money to reinvest and purchase a full arena, lights. We've built an announcer stand, lots of small pastures. We're now starting on buildings, so we'll have shelters. If you think you've ever got it all done, you don't. There's always something else on the list.
This is true. And you have your own barrel racing circuit?
We do. We did a couple jackpots last year just for fun with everything being shut down. We figured it was outdoors, we could do it. And so that was actually the initial thought behind buying the arena, and it worked out because we got a bunch of colts. But yeah, we do one show a month. We've averaged about 100 entries between the youth and open, and we're going to do some buckles and awards at the end of the year and hopefully try to grow that on the side too.
That's nice. Do you host that here at your property?
We do.
Oh, that's really nice then.
Yeah. I love it. It's fun, and our shows are quick and easy. We actually had a new arena record set last month. That was fun. Megan Taylor came in and smoked it on a four-year-old, so that was really impressive. It's always fun to watch good runs, especially when you're not running.
Absolutely. So now you're also hosting clinics here. Don't you have one coming up soon?
We do. Next weekend, we actually have Brandon Collins coming down for 2 days, and we're going to try to do a couple more of those throughout the year here, not necessarily just with him, but bring in different perspectives. So Brandon has done very well in the futurity side of the world. He's done very well at the American. I would like to get a couple different girls that have done the NFR to come do clinics, you know, maybe a different futurity trainer, have, you know, some breakers come in and just get kind of a different viewpoint on all the circuits. And that way you can kind of decide where you want to go.
Now, tell me a little bit about the circuits and things, because I don't barrel race. I'm old and fat, and I don't know much about showing, but I know there's different circuits. So for the listeners who don't know, tell us a little bit about.
Okay, so you have your jackpots, which, like, you might just have a show here that it doesn't count for any points. You know, hey, here's a Friday night jackpot. And you go, they have divisions, you compete for money. Fastest time is your first division, half second off is your second, another half second off, that's your third. And sometimes it can be a half second or a full second split to the fourth division.
Okay.
And they'll pay X amount of holes, depending on how many entries you get.
Mm-hmm.
Jackpots are fun, especially if you're just trying to go hit a quick show and get some experience or tune a horse, or you just want something to do. You have barrel shows, like we have our series, there's the DeBomb, there's a couple things like that going on where you go, you can win money, you earn points for your end prizes. Those are a lot of fun, especially if you have multiple horses to run.
Mm-hmm.
You also have rodeos, which you can enter one horse. They pay fewer holes because they're going to pay the top six, typically, sometimes all the way down to 10, to really 12 or 15 holes if you're at a pro rodeo, they pay more holes. But they pay a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
So that's nice, but you also have to travel more. It depends if you want to travel that far or if you like staying close to home. It gives a lot of variety of that. And then on top of that, you've got futurities. So futurities are for your four-year-olds. You have the juvenile at three, the 4-year-olds for the futurity, and the 5-year-olds are for derby. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're going to be attempting to learn about this year.
Awesome.
We have a couple prospects, but I've never done futurity, so
I didn't even know they had futurities and barrel racing. Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah, that was my big motivating factor, honestly, behind getting Brandon to come next weekend. I need to learn because I have no idea about the side of the industry. So.
Sure.
Hey, y'all. This is Lonnie from Mule City Specialty Feeds, located in Benson, North Carolina. It's almost springtime. Is your horse blooming? Does your horse have a shiny coat and healthy hooves? How much extra time and money are you spending mixing supplements in the feed room when you could be enjoying your horse in the arena or out on the trail? Then look no further. Mule City Specialty Feeds has a line of equine feeds that delivers maximum nutrition. From your performance horse to your weekend trail horse, our line of Maximum Nutrition Equine Feeds offers 5 different complete balanced formulas that will take you out of the feed room and into the saddle. In addition to equine feeds, we also offer complete feeds for your barnyard pets and livestock. For more details, visit our website at mulecity.com, follow us on Facebook, or give us a call at 1-800-587-9229. And don't forget, Mule City delivers.
So what horses are you going to be running in the futurity?
I'm hoping. I have 2 of my own personal horses, Echo and Savvy. They are Sunfrost and Epic Leader babies. Mm-hmm. And then I've got a client horse, Savvy. She's also a Sunfrost. She's a half-sister to my stud.
Okay.
So we'll see. Fingers crossed.
So you have a stallion now?
I do.
So you
do have a 3-year-old. I'm going to wait to stand him until he's 5. I have goals. I would like to get him going first and see if he's worth breeding. You mm-hmm. know, if he really shows me something. He's got some good papers. I love how he's built. He's got a really good nature. Mm-hmm. I want to see him accomplish something before I throw anything else on his plate.
Sure.
So we'll wait until he's 5 and then we'll revisit that theory.
Well, that's good. Some people do them too early and they're like young men. They need some time.
They need to focus.
They really do. I had them for a long time and made better horses in the long run.
I've been told that a good stud makes a great gelding. So we're just going to wait and see how it goes.
Well, that's only people that don't own stallions.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about what's left on your bucket list.
Whew. Ideally, the futurities. I would like to do that for a couple years, see what we've got, see if I can break into that. I mean, it's an entirely different world. I mean, you mm-hmm. have to have these horses ready so much quicker. I've just never been one to get a horse ready fast. And I know they put a lot of time and work into it. I mean, so much respect for futurity trainers. Young horses are goofy anyways. I mean, you might be on a high this weekend and a 0 next week, and it changes so fast. Mm-hmm. Because they're young, they're having to learn. I've never done it, so I want to try it. And then, if that all goes well, maybe in a few years when the babies are a little older, I would like to go back to pro rodeo and actually try it for, you know, like, circuit finals and then maybe ram finals and then try to actually break into the bigger stuff. But right now, I'm making a little bit more staying home mm-hmm. and creating some job security and building things that need to be done around here. We've got to get the shelters finished. We've discussed maybe doing like some rehab stuff around here, you know, maybe getting a bigger barn built where we could do some small runs off of it and have like an aqua tread and different things going on. Mm-hmm. Not sure if we'll end up going that route, but it's always good to have ideas in the horse world. You've got to make money every way you can.
Absolutely.
And if you can do it while doing what you love, that's the way to go.
Absolutely. Now, you traveled on the road for a long time. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I know at the expo you were going to talk about deciding where to haul. Mm-hmm. Can you give us a little bit of advice about that?
I can. So, if you're going to rodeo, the best thing I can tell you, like when I was IPRA rodeoing heavily, there are so many options when you're going. And they have rodeos in the summer every single night of the week. What I always tried to do when I was setting the schedule, I would write all of them down. Mm-hmm. And then I would look at the ones that had the most money. And from there, then I would break down which ones had the shortest hauls between each other. Because if you're hauling a couple horses, you have to understand they're standing in that trailer, they're working their slow twitch muscles the entire time you're hauling. Mm-hmm. So while this rodeo might have 100 more added, if it's 8 hours out of the way and this rodeo is 100 less, but it's 3 hours out, that $100 is not going to make or break it. You have to be very smart with that because your horses need a break too. And you need to pay attention if they're getting tired, if they need a day off, pay that turnout fee. It's worth throwing that one rodeo to keep your horse feeling good. When I traveled, we really only had smack running. I didn't have anything else super finished at the time, and so mm-hmm. one horse for all those runs.
Right.
And we would leave for about 2 months, sometimes a little longer. Knock on wood, he stayed sound, but I made it a point. There's a lady, Sherry Sundin, that has an awesome place that we would stop over, and we would get some therapy done, give the horses a day or two off, and then mm-hmm. keep going.
Right.
So that was really nice. And really, that's what it boils down to. Just, I mean, pick smart places to go. You don't have to hit every single rodeo. Mm-hmm. You can haul selectively, and you can still make the finals. You can still win. I mean, I watched several girls that have won the IFR. They do. They pick the best arenas to suit their horses. Mm-hmm. And then they hit a couple filler rodeos when they need to.
Right. I would think that would have a lot to do with it, because aren't some of the courses based on how long the arena is or how big it is?
There are some free courses that can run any of it. And they are incredible to watch. Like, the Matthews have some awesome horses. Kendall mm-hmm. Scrugg, some different ones. Their horses will run on anything, any pen, wow. any size. Smack did much better in small pens, so I tried to stick to those. We went to one that was just massive, New Windsor, Illinois, and we were not prepared for that. That was the first time we had to make a really long run, and you couldn't see all three barrels in any one frame on the video.
Wow.
I was like, I'm so sorry, Smack.
Right.
So it was eye-opening. It was one of those things that came home, and I was like, I really need to get my horse with his wind up, and that was a fun experience. I mean, I came home, and I have a friend that has a track, and I went and I started doing some sprints and getting them where they could handle a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So I think, ideally, when we go back to rodeo, I'll have a few more ideas on what we want to do.
Right. Well, how would you know? I mean, who would expect that? Because I would have thought they were all the same standard size, you know?
So a lot of the girls, too, and something that would help if you don't know, and I didn't initially know, but you can go on Facebook in the search bar and type in New Windsor, Illinois Rodeo. Someone has a video. If you can't find it, they're going YouTube. You can find these arenas, and you can actually look. The IPRA, the PRCA, there's always results posted, and it will have the time and the money won.
Right.
So you can go and find it. You just need to know where to look. And, I mean, there's all of the rodeo websites that keep up with their stats. Mm-hmm. So go through and look. Say, hey, my horse likes a big pen. Well, an 18-3 won that. I'm going to probably skip that rodeo.
Right.
But, hey, a 12-3 won over here. I'm going to go to that one.
Right. That makes sense. Because I wondered why sometimes they would win with high scores like 8, because I was thinking, man, I could do 18, but I was thinking in a real short little pen.
Oh, know? Yeah. It definitely changes every time. And I think that's the part for rodeo that I loved so much, mm-hmm. was you never knew what you were going to get. I mean, you could see the arena and stuff, but there's such different setups. Sometimes it's a narrow pattern, sometimes it's wide and short, or it might be really small, or the ground might be this like rock dust, or it might be deep mud, or you might be running through a monsoon. Mm-hmm. You don't know. You might have to go underneath a Ferris wheel to get to this other one over here.
Right.
And it was just so cool seeing the different setups and the horses that could just work off anything. You could tell they were dialed in. It wasn't just they were running because the barrels were set X amount off the fence. They could handle anything.
Yeah, that's so really nice. You've learned a lot and you've come a long way. I remember all the wonderful articles that you wrote for our magazine and TV shows that we've done together, and it's so good to see you growing.
We can't be successful without your donations as our partners. Every event that Cushing Media Productions produce donates $1 from ticket sales to Cushing Equestrian Fund. Join us, Cushing Equestrian Fund, your trusted source in an emergency. Follow us on Facebook, and you can donate on our website, www.cushingmedia.net.
So tell me, for people coming into the industry, especially women, what advice would you give them on how to leave their mark on this industry? You know, it's a big, versatile place.
It is, and I think the number one thing is that you have to be obsessed, and you have to find what you love about this sport. I mean, good and bad days are going to happen to everybody, and sometimes you might hit that six-month rut that you're just fed up, your horse is doing something stupid, you know they know better, it's just not working out. A lot of it is to have a good team around you. I would say that for starters. I came in, I was fortunate to have, you know, a few women that I looked up to that took me and hauled me with them, and I was able to see sights and learn. I'm very fortunate. I've got a great farrier, a great vet, I've got a chiropractor, all kinds of people that if I run into a problem, I can say, hey, check out my horse, problem solve this. And from there, you know, you need to have your good group of friends. And I definitely agree with, you know, having the mentor. I have girls that I can call and I'm like, hey, I'm just really bummed, you know, I didn't have a good day at the show. And then I can take and send my video to a couple of those people that I know mm-hmm. are going to pick it apart and be honest with me. Hey, you didn't move your hand right there. Right. You were looking at the barrel. That's not where you need to be. And that's not taken away from you. You have to be able to take constructive criticism. 9 times out of 10, it is your fault as the rider. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. Somebody could have trained you the best horse on the planet, but if you aren't riding that horse the way he needs to be ridden, it's not going to work. And there's nothing wrong with saying, I don't know, mm-hmm. or I made a mistake. And right. So I think if you come into it with the right mentality of, hey, I love this no matter what. Like, I could go and hit barrels for the next 6 months, and that's going to suck, but I love it, and I'm going to work through it. you do that, no matter what, you're never going to fail. And I think that's the biggest thing. So many people come in and they get a little bit of success, and then they hit that rough patch, and it is hard to work through it. You have to.
Right.
Every single person in this industry has had bad days. So my biggest piece of advice would be your mentality. Come in, be obsessed with what you do. Love it. Work at it. Keep growing. Keep learning. I don't care if you've been riding for 30 years. Go take a lesson with somebody different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a few people I send my videos to very often. I actually have been going and riding with Nelson Freeman, and he does ranch shorting and all that, and I think he is phenomenal. He has such a good seat in hands, and he just sees the things, and my horsemanship has improved.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have, you know, Jute Wright that I'm like, hey, watch my barrel run. And he'll say, oh, you know, move your horse this way, shape them that way. Do some of these exercises. They give you that advice. Take it.
Yeah.
And run with it, and then continue to grow on it and find what works for you. And as you're doing that, think of all the ways that you can grow what you're doing, not just yourself. So, I mean, yes, we started this place as just, here, we're going to have our horses here, and we're going to train here.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was, hey, let's put on some shows. Hey, let's do some clinics. I mean, there's so many ways that you can bring attention to our sport, and I think that's a big thing. So,
now you're heavily involved in the All Youth Barrel Bash. And that's an amazing event that has just gotten crazy out of control, big. Tell us a little bit about that, because that's something wonderful that people need to know about.
So I believe it was originally Carson Kelly's idea. He's a huge person in it, and I think that is the most fantastic idea. Our youth is big. That's how you're going to grow our industry. Keep bringing people in. Show them that it's fun. Set up this event for them. So we have several girls going. I actually have a whole written sheet of who all we have to keep track of so we can make sure, you know, they're not stressed out about anything. I mean, we have on Saturday, I think about 20 runs we've got to keep up with.
Mm-hmm.
We have 7 or 8 girls that are riding with our group, and they're all on multiple horses.
Nice.
So it's going to be fun. I'm really hoping that they just go in and enjoy it. Mm-hmm. It is going to be a big event. It's going to be a lot different jockeying horses that they're not familiar with, but they've been working really, really hard. So I am excited to see what they get done.
Absolutely. You know, it's so interesting in barrel racing, this sport isn't suffering from no kids.
Yeah.
So many sports really were having a hard time, you know, getting children to come at all. And boys. And you guys have boys that run, which is fabulous.
Oh, yeah. The thing I like about barrel racing is it's very inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
This is one sport that you will see everybody really cheering for each other. And I'm not saying that there aren't, you know, there's always some bad eggs in any event. But the vast majority of people you see, you know, they can go in, and I think a prime example of girls I really love to watch, Lear Honaker is another one that's great. She's got a really nice horse. And she goes in, she makes her run, and then you'll see her up in the stands cheering for people later. And that is fantastic. I think that's one big draw of the sport, is people are happy for each other. It is cool to see that smoke and run. I mean, we went to Yadkinville a couple weeks ago, and Jada Carlisle won the whole thing by 6/10. That is amazing.
That is amazing.
That was a fun run to watch. And I mean, we all got 2D'd, but it was amazing to watch it. And I think that's what's so cool.
Well, you know, in a sport that people can win with a half a second, I mean, everybody's really good to be in that group to start with. And sometimes it's just the luck of the draw, I would think, you know, who wins and who doesn't.
Well, there's so many kids that are getting into it. And I think what really benefits kids, too, they're fearless.
Yes.
They're fearless. They go in and they just roll on these horses.
I know.
So they've got to love it. I mean, it's such an adrenaline rush, and it's a good event. There's good people that are in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a big draw for parents. You know, your kids aren't getting into something that's wild and crazy. I mean, we're all a little crazy. We're barrel racers, but it's the good kind.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Anything else you want to tell the audience?
Don't get down when you have those rough patches. I think that's the number one thing I want people to remember, because horses are humbling. They're animals. They have minds of their own. Do what you love and do it every day. Consistency is going to be your biggest key.
Mm-hmm.
And if you hit a wall, ask for advice. Don't get frustrated.
All right. Well, thank you for spending time with us.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed today's show. Our souls wander in similar places. Even though we may not know each other, we touch the same wind, we walk under the same sky, and our hearts wander in the same dreams. We are one, women just like you and me. Thank you for listening.